about the fact that you're going to be dying? And then Peter goes and says, well, hey, wherever you go, I go. And I need to tell you something too. You die, I die with you. You are not dying alone. I'm going to be there. And to the shock of everybody there, especially for the other disciples, suddenly Jesus says to Peter, actually, Peter, and you need to be able to hear this in Jesus' voice. When you read passages like this, never take the emotion out of it. Jesus did not say it clinically. I cannot believe he said it in any other way than his heart was breaking as he said it. Peter, before the morning dawns, before the sun rises, you're going to deny me 3 times that you even know me. And I'm sure his disciples are all thinking to themselves, what in the world is going on? You're leaving us? And even somebody like Peter, who's one of the closest to you, one of the most loyal to you, he's going to deny that he knows you before the sun rises? Jesus, what's going on? And then chapter 14 opens with that line, don't let your hearts be troubled. Does it sound like cold comfort? If you were going through that moment, in that particular point in time, wouldn't that sound something like cold comfort? I know you're all looking at me going, Paul, Jesus would never say it that way. It would never just be cold comfort. It would be meaningful. He would mean this. Yes, he does mean it. Absolutely, he means it. But at the time, are you able to receive it? Are you able to hear it? Are you able to hear what it is that he's trying to say? And right now, he's trying to push forward and say, but I want to be able to let you know something. I've taken care of what's about to come. I want you to be able to know that. And he begins talking to them about the fact of how he's still going to be present with them, but in a different form. But I don't know about you, but when I've been in times of unbelievable distress, where the world, for some reason, my world, has collapsed around me, sometimes the hardest thing for me to hear is the entire conversation of comfort that you're speaking to me. Instead, my brain, which is on high alert and only picking up on the fact that it doesn't want this to be the story and doesn't want to be where it's going forward, is only picking up on certain things. And as I was reflecting on this passage, I wondered, I thought, if I was in this situation, what would be the next thing I'd be picking up on? And maybe that would be in chapter 14 where Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Orphans? Orphans? There's a chance that we could be orphans? And in that day and age especially, I mean in today's age, in our country somewhat, but in other countries very much, the idea of being left as an orphan was terrifying. Was terrifying. The Greek word for orphan picks up on it so beautifully because it picks up on the idea that not just are you fatherless, but you've been abandoned. You've been abandoned. You are deprived, you are unprotected, and you are comfortless. You are comfortless. And now all of a sudden, that's what they're hearing going through their head. What do you mean you're not going to leave us as orphans? There's a possibility we could end up as orphans? There's a possibility that you, leaving our story right now, it could get that bad? But Jesus is trying to be able to say to them, I'm leaving somebody with you. I've asked the Father, and he's agreed. He's agreed. And we're going to be sending you an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And he is going to be empowering you. He's going to be living inside of you. He's going to be helping you to be able to live the life that I've promised you. Amazing thing about it is that Jesus lays this out in a beautiful way for us. Without going into all the theology, and that pneumatology, by the way, is what it's called. Just wanted you to know that so my years in seminary were not wasted. But in pneumatology, on the theology around surrounding the Holy Spirit, there are several things that Jesus wanted you to be able to grasp right away, what he wanted his disciples to grasp right away. And that was this. Number one, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He's a person. A very much alive person, fully part of the Trinity, fully part of God himself. He wanted us to be able to appreciate that. The word that he uses for the Spirit here is the word parakletos, which means a copy of something. And what Jesus is saying is that I'm giving you a copy of myself. I'm giving you a copy of myself. He's going to be with you always. Oh, by the way, here's some of the beauty of this. He's going to be your helper. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to help you to be able to remember the things that I've shared and told you about. He's going to be an intimate part of who you are. When Nate gave his message a couple of weeks ago on the vine and the branches, and that beautifully done, well delivered, great message. And it really helped us to be able to catch a picture of what it means for the branch to be abiding in the vine and then producing the fruit. And the fruit becomes a natural byproduct of abiding in the vine, staying connected with Jesus. And Jesus wants us to be able to appreciate something. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that you're able to be able to do that. And then you naturally bear fruit. And Jesus lays out one of the primary fruit for us. And is it fruit or fruits? Anyway, that's what's going through my mind right now. And that, what's the plural of fruit? I go down rabbit trails in my own head even when I'm up here. But the primary fruit that he's talking about here is he's saying this in John chapter 14 and 15, and that is that they'll know you by your love, by my love. That's what will define you. What will separate you from everybody else around you is that your life will be characterized by this agape type of love, a love that is not self-serving, but it is into serving others, but also understands that it's a love for itself, for the person itself, in order that that person may be transformed by that love. And that's why I think it's beautiful that in the portrait pictures that Nate showed us a couple of weeks ago, you saw the fruit of the vine and all these grapes, and they all looked luscious and sweet and full and plump and everything else, and they just look great. And not all of us are created to look the same, but we're all created to have the same characteristic, one special characteristic, and that is love. And Jesus is saying, by the way, this will be done in your life because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? The only problem I had with Nate's message was that he mentioned this thing about raisins. And if you missed the message, you need to go back and hear about his disgust for raisins. But I want you to be able to know something. As I age, I believe I'm becoming to resemble more and more of a raisin, less the plump grape. Here's the thing that's so beautiful here, though, for each one of us to be able to know. And that is that Jesus is saying, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. And the message wasn't just for his disciples. It was for each one of us as well. I'm not leaving you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be more powerfully present in your life than ever before, because the Holy Spirit is going to be there in your life, in intimacy with you, fully understanding who you are. You know what our problem is with the Christian life, though? And that is that we tend to spend too much of our life spiritually, and this isn't Sunnyside, by the way, alone. This is universal for the church. And that is that we tend to spend too much of our life and that practicing what I call behavior modification. And that is that I know I should be this way, therefore I choose to be this way, therefore I will be this way, I'll put effort into being this way. And so we can step out and say, you know something? I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more caring. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be the type of person who puts other people first today. I'm going to look out for their needs just like I look out for my own. I'm going to love my neighbor just like I love myself. Had a friend one time who sent me a little thing, and he said that. He said, Paul, I made a decision. This is what I'm going to do today. This is how I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to be. I'm going to make sure today that I just live out the love of Christ. He said, then I got out of bed. What if the problem is that we just can't do it on our own? What if that's the problem? What if the problem is that we need the Holy Spirit to be able to empower us and enable us to be able to truly live the life that Christ has for us? I was trying to think of how best to illustrate this, and the illustration that I had was that I got this little flashlight from the store, and I thought, beautifully, beautiful, this flashlight is amazing. This flashlight was designed and engineered by people who took the time to really be able to look at it and examine it and know what is needed to be used for, and that was to be able to give people the comfort of light and darkness. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's got 9 little LED lights in here so they can. It's great with the power source. It shines brightly in the whole bit. And anytime you need it, all you have to do is turn it on, and it begins to shine. And it just shines so. Can you see it? You can't see it? Is it just because it's too bright in here, or you just can't see it? You can't see it? No batteries? You honestly think I would have come up here with an illustration and not check the batteries? Why is it the fact that all your heads are going, yeah, we believe that you would do that. Yeah, absolutely, we believe that you'd do that. You know what I think the problem is with this flashlight? I think the problem with this flashlight is that it needs a good talk, maybe some therapy, on the whole fact of what it means to be a flashlight. And I think if I just sat and was able to talk with it and say to it, you are designed to shine light, you are designed to be a powerful source in darkness, I think maybe that would get it. Or maybe what I should do is I should get it to spend more time with a flashlight manual. And if it spent more time in a flashlight manual, studying it, memorizing it, et cetera, then it could actually shed light, show light. I think that'd be good. What if I put it in a group with other flashlights? What if I put it in a group with other flashlights and it came to understand its design and its purpose? What if, you're still looking at me like you think it's the battery. Okay. Let's see here. What is the problem? Okay, so I stand corrected. I want to be able to share something with you, though, about this. And that is this. All those other things are good. As a matter of fact, God says to us, Jesus said to us, the Spirit will lead you into all truth, and truth will. We need that in our life. We need people to come alongside and speak that truth into us so that we understand that that truth is something that can be trusted so that we can live lives that are free to be everything that God designed us to be. Isn't that true? We need to be in the manual. We need to be into God's Word. We need to be examining God's Word and let it speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that it can indeed be what it's meant to be, and that is something that is living and alive and powerful. And we need to be gathering with other Christians. We need to be getting together with them. We need to be able to be in a place where iron sharpens iron, where we can be affirmed, encouraged, strengthened, comforted. But again, it has to be done because the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and through us. There's too many times we're trying to live the Christian life in our own empowerment. There's too many times that you and I are trying to be able to get out there each day and tell ourselves, today, I'm going to practice all the fruit of the Spirit that it talks about in Galatians 5, 22, 23. I spent 2 weeks memorizing it. I've got them nailed down. It's love, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And oh, wow. And against those things, there is no law. Wow, that's even better. I know I can do this. When Jesus looked at his disciple, Peter, and he said to him, by tomorrow morning, before the sun rises, You are going to deny me 3 times that you even know me. And what he's saying to Peter is an example for each one of us. You cannot do it on your own. As good as your intentions might be, you cannot live the Christian life in your own power. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. How does this take place in our life? The most beautiful thing about it is that it's so simple. It's so absolutely simple. Ephesians 5:18 tells us this. It says that do not get drunk with wine. In other words, do not be under its controlling influence. But rather, instead, Paul draws a comparison. He says, be filled with the Spirit. The word for filled there in the Greek means to be controlled and empowered. It is something that is a command, by the way, saying, you need to do this. But it also is this. It is what they call present ongoing in the Greek, which means that it's something that's practiced over and over and over again. It's not a once and it's done, but rather it is something that is ongoing in our life. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote that, was reflecting upon these things that Jesus left for us. Jesus left you this helper. He left you this advocate. The other beautiful word that's used there is friend. Matter of fact, some translations even go down and pick it up on this whole thing and they say, he's a comforter. And why? Because they're reflecting on the whole idea of orphans and the fact that I don't want to be left abandoned in this world, insecure, helpless, unable to be able to change anything in my story. And Jesus is saying, you're not. I've given you an unbelievable power source that is able to not only be there for you, but to empower you to be able to live the life that I've called you to live. And how do we do that? We acknowledge the fact that, number one, like we will in a few minutes, in observing the communion service. But we understand and realize on a daily basis, Lord Jesus, it's only by your grace and your love and the fact that you died for me on the cross that I am able even to have this relationship with the Father and able to be able to experience that love. And so I once again surrender this moment to you, surrender my heart to you, and I ask you, in obedience to your command, fill me, control me, and empower me by the Holy Spirit. How often do we have to do that? As often each day as you and I sever the relationship. As often as we sever the relationship. Sometimes it can be because of the fact that we've done obvious malicious sin. Other times it can simply be because of the fact that you let anxiety or care take over your heart. And in these days, isn't that easy? And in those moments, I need to come back to him and say, wait a second. Right now, the world's given me every reason why I should feel anxious, every reason why I should feel grave concern, every reason why I should lose hope. But you have not, God. You have not. And you have empowered me to be able to live this life so that I can live in victory. I can live in hope. What's the other beautiful thing that Jesus is promising his disciples here right away? Peace. Peace. A reflection in the Greek of the Hebrew word shalom. And every good Jewish person understood that shalom meant more than just peace for the moment or peace for the situation or peace for that particular thing that you're dealing with. But they understood that peace meant, shalom meant, a sense of well-being in every area of your life because you know that God cares and is caring for you. And he has not changed his attitude that way. He continues to care for you. And Jesus says, you will experience this because the peace I'm giving you is not like the world gives. The peace that I'm giving you, it's supernatural. It's powerful. It makes you shine out differently. Sometimes I have to do it dozens of times during the day. Simply surrender and say, Lord, once again, please, empower, control. I surrender to you. Let your life flow through me. Sometimes, not dozens of times a day. But every time I know that I've taken it back inside my heart, I need to relinquish it once again and let him empower and control me. You know the most beautiful thing about it? And I can tell you this from experience. And that is this. Jesus, above everything else, wanted you to be able to know that he, for God so, loved. He wanted you to know that you're loved. And I got to tell you, the easiest way for you to be able to experience that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the first fruit, love. It's the first thing that Jesus said should define us and characterize us, love. And then from there as well, he says, beautiful thing that he put in John chapter 7 where he said this. He said it will be like springs of living water flowing through you, naturally, naturally. In other words, not only will it meet all of your needs, your spiritual needs, not only will they be satisfied, will you be able to walk in shalom and reflect love, but by the way, and know that you are loved, but it will pour forth from you and cannot help but affect everybody else around you. And that is something that it takes place in our life and our story because we release the control, surrender to the love of Christ, and ask him to empower us in the way that he promised through your Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit knows you well. In Romans 8, he even says this. Here's an added bonus. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you before the Father with utterings and groanings too deep for words because the Holy Spirit knows you. He completely knows and understands who you are and what you're going through individually. Individually. Not comparing you to anybody else. And he's interceding on your behalf. My final thought for you on this today, and I would ask you to reflect upon this as well. It's a gift. It's given to us by grace. The Holy Spirit is given to us by grace, this empowerment. It's ours for the taking. It's ours for the releasing in our story. And by the way, if you do, it makes you some of the most powerful people on the planet because you have the living, almighty, resurrected Jesus Christ, Lord God of the universe, always there present in your story and working on your behalf. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for all that he made possible by his life and his death and his resurrection victory. And thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, who empowers us to experience everything that you desire for us, so that in the words of Jesus, even greater things than these will you do. Thank you for that. Amen.